And our first reading is from Isaiah 40, chapters 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And our second reading is from the New Testament, Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And our final reading is from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" St. Paul was not the first person to use that metaphor of running a race. It actually shows up several times in the Hebrew scriptures, of which he would be well aware of. In Ecclesiastes, we read, "The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all." Psalm 95, Psalm 19, verse 5, "Like a champion rejoicing to run his course." In Proverbs 4, 1 to 12, "I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble." Again in Proverbs 18, 10, "The name of the Lord is strong. The righteous run to it and are safe." Habakkuk 2, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald, a messenger, may run with it.'" In the New Testament, I think they're all attributed to St. Paul. 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." In Acts 20, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me." In Galatians, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" And the one we all remember, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." How many of you have been runners, like run competitively in races? Okay, few of you. Amazingly, I was actually a runner for about early 20 years in my life. You'd not know that now, but I was. And I learned a lot from running. It's about the unpredictability of life. No course, no matter how many times you've run it, is going to be exactly the same. It's not going to be straight and smooth. There are all kinds of pitfalls just on the race course itself. Wet pavement makes it slick. Leaves, again, makes it slip. Since we sand our roads here in the spring, there's going to be sand, which can be a pitfall, sometimes gravel. And each time you run it, the road conditions may be different. And there are some challenges in running that we can control. We can be prepared with our good clothes that wick moisture. We can have good shoes. We might have one of those little nylon jackets that fits in a tiny little pocket. We did our stretching beforehand. Some people kind of jog around before the race. Those things we can kind of have some control over. But there's many more things we can't control. The weather. In Montana, it can be rain, sleet, snow, or incredible heat. The conditions of the course, like I mentioned. Water stations can be dangerous because you get the water. People throw the cups on the ground. It's really slick. And then at the beginning of the race, the runners are often seated. So the fastest runners are in the front, then a little bit back and back and back till you get all the way to the back where you've got the walking grandmothers and stuff. But the thing is, not everyone tells the truth, because we all sort of think that we are good runners. So we ask to be moved up front, which then is a pitfall for everyone that's behind them, because obviously they can't keep up. You're trying to get around them. At the beginning of the race, there's all this excitement. You can feel this energy. Then the gun goes off, and suddenly people are jockeying into position. You have to find your own stride, your own pace. It's hard to do because you have to watch out for all those conditions on the route. And then there are the people. They are our biggest obstacle sometimes. People will cut you off. Like Paul says, who cut you off and made you lose your focus? Some people zigzag like this, and so if you're behind them, you're trying to figure out which way to go. There are stroller moms. Stroller moms are dangerous. They run in packs. They're usually talking to each other. They are sometimes oblivious to what's going on around them. And you don't know what the stroller mom is going to do. If you're ahead of a stroller mom, that's even more dangerous. I have personally been rear-ended by stroller moms at least 3 times. And they get you right back here on that tendon. So for the rest of the race, you're going to run in pain because you've got that tendon that's hurting. Stroller moms often have young kids with them who can dart out and you're not prepared. People don't always turn the same way. You can see this turn up there, and ideally we would all turn the same way, but we don't. Because sometimes someone over here decides, if I cut over there, I'm going to shave a few seconds off my time. So you're going along, phew, someone cuts you off right in front of you, and you startle, you have to back up. Sometimes people push. Actually, sometimes people elbow. If they're the really competitive type, steer around them. And then suppose you're running a pretty good race. You've overcome the obstacles. You've done everything right. You carbo-loaded the night before. And there's that one little rock that you didn't see. You weren't aware of your surroundings. You don't see it. So you run, and it hits your shoe just right. You sprain your ankle or you twist your ankle. And people come to help you. They lift you up. They take you over to the side. You think you can keep going? Yeah, yeah. I think I can do it. But again, you're going to be running the rest of the race in pain. You might even be limping. I don't know what your rock is, but there's some out there. And then in a different race, this time you're doing really well. You have beaten your own time. And you know how they have those chutes at the end and it marks people's time? You can see them. And it's like, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then someone falls down right smack in front of you. You look at them. They're obviously deconditioned. They shouldn't even be in the race, you know. And then there's this mental dialogue. Okay, should I stop and pick them up? Because I remember someone picked me up once, but I'm so close. And then there's this little bit of judging the person that fell. You know, what are they doing here? They don't have the right kind of shoes. It's their own darn fault. I don't want to stop. I want my good time. So you go ahead. You run around them. You know that there are other people that are going to come and help them. You don't have to be the one. So you run right through the gates. Had a pretty good time. But then you feel not so good. You feel like somehow you didn't measure up. You have regrets. And you don't want to finish the race with regrets. But then, supposing you decide, I'm going to stop and help them. People have helped me. I'm going to help them. It'll lessen my time a little bit, but it's okay. So you help them up, get them on their feet. You're ready to go. You get to the finish, but you have a crummy time. You didn't do well. And then you feel resentment towards that person. They were in, you know, there's a million reasons you can be resentful of that person. One, they messed up your time. They shouldn't have been there, all that stuff. And you don't want to get to the end of the race with resentments either. When my daughter and I used to run, when we first started running together, she was in about the seventh grade, and we would go out to the track at Lockwood School, and senior high has them. Sometimes you see people out there running around the circle. It's a wonderful place to run. The track is smooth. The gravel at the top is, you know, kind of doesn't hurt your feet. And you can just go around and around and around and around. And it feels wonderful. And you can do this thing to sort of help you be more agile. So you jump to one side, to the other, to the other, to the other, around the lanes. It becomes meditative, actually. And that track time is our prayer. If we don't have prayer time, we are not going to have a good race. And our track time needs to be almost as important or more important than brushing our teeth. Usually we brush our teeth 2 to 3 times a day. Do we pray that often? You can't run a good race without that prayer time. And you think of Jesus going off by himself to a mountainside and praying, because he too had his race. He had to press on today and tomorrow and the next day. And he may have wanted to stop too, but he didn't. He went off to pray and he got his strength back and he kept going. So remember your track time.